Mr. Thornton. Gordon Ames, KRVL, Revolution FM, Kerrville, Texas.
How's it going? Well, pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure to talk to you. I'll start out by saying that I was at the Stub Show. We'll put that in the top two of shows I've seen in the last 2 years.
Oh, man. Well, that's, I appreciate that.
And when I tell you who the other one was, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Unknown Henson.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, Henson did a video of his show at Stubbs, didn't he? Probably does. You know, I love Danny.
He
was just out at the house. Well, it wasn't too long before we went on tour. Probably like a month before we went on tour or something like that. And then I went out one night and saw him. There's a place in L.A. called Safari Sam's.
Right.
He's out there. And I went out and introduced him that night. Danny and I have become friends over the years. And he'll talk to me out of character a lot. Which is nice. When I first knew him, he stayed in character most of the time.
I got to meet him last year and got to spend about 3 days with him.
That's great.
And
he's a good guy.
Wonderful guy. And his only request was no photos.
Right.
No photos until I get in my clothes.
Right.
And but he was out of character with me pretty much the whole time. Now, when somebody else from the station would come into my office or wherever we were at, it was a little bit different. But, yeah, he was just a wonderful guy, and which kind of leads me, to one of the first questions I want to ask. The cleverness of the lyrics on the songs, I mean, I see similarities, okay?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Not as blatant, but I see some similarities.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching the game. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, every man in America should be able to relate to that.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's one of those things that's been going on since men and women been together.
Right.
You know, I bet Adam and Eve had something like that going. You know, no tell. It's probably over apples and not baseball. But yeah, that's the song that's just, I mean, because I'm such a baseball nut. My girlfriend, Connie, I just can't get it across to her sometimes that I can't go to Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, during the game, it's like you don't understand something. Pujols is up at bottom of the seventh. You know, we got two on, we're behind by 3 runs. I mean, how do you expect me to think about anything else?
So you really are a Cardinals fan?
Oh, big time, big time. And I really do despise the Cubs.
I heard that in the lyrics of the song.
Oh yeah, and,
and I understand that there is a radio edit available for that.
There is. There sure is. There's also one for I'll Give You a Ring, because we found out that you can say balls on the radio, but you can't say. So we got an edit of that one word.
Right.
So that'll be available too.
Yeah, of course, you know, when this goes on the air, that will be.
Oh, yeah, I just said it, didn't I?
See, the good thing is.
I blew it already.
No, the good news is I'm recording this, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop in a few songs and make kind of a radio special that we can.
Oh, cool. And also, you know, you can, from Vanguard, they'll get you those edits, you know. But it's, we're real proud of that song watching the game. But, you know, we don't play that live. We probably should. You know, we haven't so far anyway. You know, it's funny how some songs on a record work perfectly, but you just know live, you can't quite get it across, maybe, you know what I mean? Like something that's real lyric heavy where you really have to know every word of it. Because you know how audiences are, you know, they're all hollering and yelling and stuff. And sometimes you're playing a song where, you know, maybe if it sounds good, you know, sonically, but you can get by with it. But a song like that relies so much on the every lyric,
uh-huh.
You don't know if it's a good song to play live or not. But maybe it will. But maybe we're not. I just need to hold up a few cards for the audience.
Have them play it on a screen behind the stage or something.
Yeah, which we do some of that. But a lot of the venues you play at, you know, they're kind of blocked by us. You know,
right.
If the place doesn't have a real tall ceiling or anything, and then. When we play in a theater, which we did last night in Michigan, it was a huge theater, so we got to use the full screen, and we had the lyrics up.
That's nice.
Which was real nice, you know. But you know, I'm glad you're a Henson fan, because you know, we promote him as much as we can. He's actually doing the we're playing the Hard Rock Vegas at the end of the tour, and afterward they have a smaller place at the Hard Rock called Wasted Space. It's a new club within Hard Rock.
Right.
And we're having our after party. We figure at the end of the tour we should have an after party, and we're having that, and Henson's playing the after party.
Oh.
So if you're not doing anything on September 5th,
that would be fantastic.
All in one night.
Yeah, I was sure, man, I was just thinking how nice it'd be to see a double bill tour.
That might be nice. Talked about it.
You brought a pretty stellar lineup along for this tour. Brad Davis was a nice touch. The mandolin, I thought, was a very nice touch. You got some great players out there.
Yeah, they are. I love this band. I mean, after all these years of going out with my solo stuff and everything, I finally found the perfect configuration, you know, for the band, and this is one that's going to really last. You know, of course, I've got a couple of guys that have been with me a long time,
sure.
Like Brad and Teddy, you know, but, you know, and of course the new kids are the Boxmasters, you know, JD and Butler, and, you know, having Marty Rifkin out there on steel with us is a great thing, too.
Does he have fun when he plays? He was smiling and laughing the entire show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he just absolutely loves it, and he's been out on big tours and stuff with Springsteen and a lot of people, you know,
right.
and yeah, he loves being a Boxmaster.
The thing that I just was just amazed by was just initially the visual, the big white panels with all the amps hidden, and the multicolored suits, everybody wearing different colored suit, you know, of course you, and stair-stepping the colors in. The whole scene was just, y'all captured what you were going after.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we really wanted to get that across to people that the Boxmasters were a 60s-sounding band, you know, and yet it's hillbilly music, you know. We wanted to capture that whole thing, and the look is a big part of getting that across to an audience. Because in the beginning, last year when we toured, you know, obviously people didn't know who the Boxmasters were at all, so it makes it a lot tougher. So when we would open for ourselves, people would be a little bit confused sometimes, but now that the records have been up in the Americana charts for a while,
right,
on TV, it's and the radio, it's been really a great thing. When we come out, people know that we're coming out that way, and when they see it, it's kind of a nice little vibe for the audience. And what's funny about it is I told the guys, I said, because, you know, a guitar player is going to think, well, I want to have access to my amp.
Right.
So we just make sure we have everything set at soundcheck, you know.
Yeah, just make sure you got some pedals.
Exactly. Make sure we got those pedals out there ready to go. And the idea behind that was we wanted it to look like a show like Hullabaloo or Shindig or
absolutely,
whatever, where you didn't see any amps, you know, and really give it that 60s TV show vibe. And especially, like I said, when we play in these big places, theaters and things like that, you get the whole thing. So hopefully you'll be able to see us in one of those someday. And we got a new we've got a new cartoon. We did three of those cartoons. You know, the one we play before we come on, the Western cartoon. And the idea behind those is to have a cartoon that was like the old Beatles cartoons, you know,
right,
kind of cheesy.
I've got editing capability. Say what you want.
Oh, okay.
I don't hold back.
Okay. I know, now I'm scared.
No. Like I said, I'm recording all this, man. It'll all be FCC friendly by the time it goes on the air.
Okay. But also to have real simplistic storylines, you know, how in the old Beatle cartoons, it was all, the stories always just, you know, they were getting chased by zombies or something, and they ended up on the run while they played one of the songs. And so the one we played when we were down there in Texas was the old Western one, you know, where we get in this old West town. And not the new one, we get swallowed by a whale, and it's pretty funny. We just saw it the other day, so I think we're going to, for the second half of the tour, we're going to start using that one.
Are you going to make these available somewhere?
Yeah, they will be available on the Dell Lounge.
Okay.
So
DellLounge.com.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe you can see the one we played in Austin now. I think it's up on there now.
Okay.
And then we've got one other one we've already finished that they're still editing and everything. The kids that do it for Dell, they're real good at it. We're real happy with them. So they're pretty good. The third one actually is the band goes to play some mansion for some party, and it turns out to be haunted with zombies.
How nice is that? I'll tell you, that's what really, so much of the appeal to me is, so much of the new music that comes out is really hard to take.
Yeah,
and
I agree with.
I mean, I do a 6-hour show. I really get to kind of do what I want to do. I don't have to necessarily stay within the confines of we've got a very wide-ranging format, but I don't have to stay within those confines. And
so you don't necessarily have to play the Nashville sound all the time.
Oh, we don't have any of that.
Okay.
We are we are heavy into the Texas music and some Americana.
Right.
So we play a lot of the Texas artists. I mean, even going back to Jimmy Rogers and Ernest Tubb, and you know, we throw in that stuff. But you know, the old Willie stuff, the old Waylon stuff.
Sure.
Ray Wiley Hubbard, you know, was a big friend of the radio station here, and a lot of these new guys are coming up that have got a lot to offer. But you see so many of these guys that are climbing that disappearing ladder.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that we want to do at some point, we haven't gotten around to it yet. I've shot out there on movies a couple of times, but one of these days we've got to do a Boxmasters show at Green Hall.
Yeah, our Luckenbach.
Our Luckenbach, yeah. I mean, we'd love to go out there. I mean, we always play Dallas and Austin,
sure,
and, you know, all those places, but we'd like to get out there in one of those and do it.
Old
do
Texas Dance Hall, man, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That would be so, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold you to that. And,
oh, absolutely.
And at that point, we're going to get you guys in studio, and we'll give you all the backline you need. Y'all come in here and play live.
Well, we'd love to do that.
Oh,
we would absolutely love to do it. I mean, as a matter of fact, when we go on tour, you know, Texas is usually, we're usually about five or six shows into the tour when we get to Texas, because we'll do Portland and L.A. and San Francisco, and then maybe Santa Fe and, you know, places like that, you know, Phoenix or whatever, and then we come in Texas. So we're always real anxious to get to Texas, and then when we leave Texas, there's a little bit of a letdown when the last show happens in Texas, and this time we did eight shows in a row without a day off in Texas, and it was just the best. I mean, we went from Odessa to Austin was the last show in Texas, and then we played Baton Rouge, which is great, you know.
Right.
But still, there's something about Texas that I'm kind of a, you know, I'm a Texarkansan, you know.
Right.
I mean, I was raised in Arkansas and Texas, so I have a lot of loyalty to Texas, you know. I mean,
right.
For Christ's sakes, I've got the Texas flag tattooed on my back that says "Remember the Alamo." So
I like that.
you don't do that lightly, you know.
Yeah, I need a picture of that.
Oh, absolutely. I can get you one.
All right. Yeah, because you know what I'm, and I don't know if Lucy told you or not, what I'm doing is I'm going to put this thing together for the radio, and then I'm also going to use this for an interview column that I do for a regional entertainment magazine that we've got out here called Hill Country Happenings. I do an interview column every month, so next month is your month. And I'll,
oh, good.
Of course,
deal.
Make sure that you guys get copies of all that, and copy the MP3, everything, you know, if y'all want any of that stuff. So.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I know that you've got things to do and places to go, people to see. I'd like to ask you a couple more questions if you've got a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We've talked about the Hours disc already. Let me ask you this. When you, from a writing standpoint, and I know that, you know, that you're a prolific writer, not only from writing songs, but from the movies. Do you sit down with a concept? Well, I mean, like for this album, did you sit down and say, I'm going to write 12 songs? Or did you sit down, you know what, I've got some ideas, I'm going to put it down 15 or 20, 25 songs, and we're going to pick. What is your process?
In this case, what happened was we recorded probably, there's 24 songs or 23 songs on the record, not including all that transitional music. And
which is cool, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we love doing that. That all happened because of Knoxville Girl and I Want to Hold Your Hand. We were just doing it on those two songs, that transition from those two, because we wanted to make I Want to Hold Your Hand sound darker than it is. You know, the whole idea behind I Want to Hold Your Hand becomes slightly creepier when you hear that right after Knoxville Girl. And so that's how that started out. once we heard those two together, then we, you know, thought, well, hey, you know what, let's just go ahead. Since this is a band based on the Beatles, the British Invasion mixed with hillbilly music, let's go ahead and do our version of a Sergeant Pepper or a Tommy, you know, and just go ahead and have it all the way through, you know. Yeah. And really what happened was, on the original side, we only wrote 14 songs, and there's 11 on there. One of them was just too nasty. We thought, I mean, even with our fans and people that know me and, you know, Bad Santa fans even are going to, this might be a little bit too much for anybody, and I guarantee you, you can't bleep enough out of this one to put it on the radio. So one of them we didn't put on there because of that. And the other two were good songs, but they didn't sound like the rest of them. For some reason, we couldn't get it to sound enough like the rest of the record. You know, they were a little bit more like my solo songs, and so that's exactly what we ended up doing, is recording them just the opposite way, more singer-songwriter way, you know, for the next solo record. So, you know, we wrote pretty much exactly within the concept, and the whole idea was, you know, let's make it the original side about this sort of lower middle class lifestyle that I grew up in. The people you'd see on Cops or something.
You nailed it.
So, that was kind of the idea. So that was pretty streamlined, and we didn't write too much over what we had on the record. Now, on the cover side, that was very different. We started covering everything we could think of. We probably had almost twice as many songs on the cover side.
Well, what I think is so cool about the covers on the Theirs disc is what you decided to cover. I mean, Michael Nesmith. I grew up in that time frame, okay? I mean, I was born in 58, so I lived all that.
Same era, yeah.
Pete Townsend, The Dirt Band. When I saw House at Pooh Corner, first song I put in, because I remember The Dirt Band version.
For Robin and I walked along under branches lit up by the moon. Posing our questions to Alan Eyoore as our days disappeared all too soon. But I wandered much further today than I should, and I can't find my way to the 3-acre wood. So help me if you can. I've got to get back to the house at Pooh Corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin and Pooh. Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. Got a honey jar on his nose. He came to me asking help and advice, and from here no one knows where he goes. So I sent him to ask of the owl if he's there how to loosen a jar from the nose of a bear. So help me if you can. I've got to get back to the house of Pooh Corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin. Back to the ways of Christopher Robin. Back to the days of
Oh, yeah. And that's why we put it on there, is because of their version. I used to work as a roadie for a sound company, and I worked with the Dirt Band quite a few times.
Right.
And every night I would hear them do Pooh Corner, and then I actually had the idea to cover the two Nesmith songs. I mean, Mike's an old friend of mine.
Right.
Why you're sure you don't need me? Tell me again, but don't think you'll convince. so hard about the life that you've led. As far as I can see, there's no reason for goodbye. You're just running scared, and that's something I won't buy. So you lose, I won't let you go. There's nothing to show but more blues. All this talk about leaving is strictly bad news. So you settle down and stay with the boy that loves you. I can see there's no reason for goodbye. You're just running scared, and that's something I won't buy. So you lose, I won't let you go. There's nothing to show but more blues. All this talk about leaving is strictly bad news. So you settle down and stay with the boy that loves you.
He's one of the most underrated talents ever. I mean, that's
and always has been.
Always has been. I mean, you're talking about an innovator. That guy's a genius. And
sure.
Those two songs are also on the Uncle Charlie record by the Boat Band. And I used to hear them do those songs every night. And I always thought, one of these days, I'm going to cut these songs. I love them so much. And Mike actually called us after he heard the record, and he just flipped out. He loved them. He said, I'm afraid to say too much about how much I love this record. He said, this is one of the best records I've heard in years. And he said, I'm afraid to say too much about publicly because everybody's just going to think it's because I'm blowing my own horn because my songs are on there. But I said, don't worry about it, Mike. They won't think that. I'll make sure they don't. But, yeah, that's how all that came about.
Mel Tillis, song Mel. I haven't heard that song since the last time I heard Mel do it.
You know why we decided to cover that song? It was, years ago, when I was in that Trace Ombre's band, the ZZ Top tribute band,
right.
We lived in Houston, well, Tomball, technically.
Sure.
And
I'm an old Baytown boy, so yeah.
Oh, there you go. So you know that whole area. So yeah. We ran around Conroe and Spring and Tomball and those places.
Now, when was that?
That was in 82 and half of 83,
okay.
when we had the tribute act. We were discovered to do that when we were playing in a club down in Houston. It's not there anymore, called Cardi's. Yeah, remember Cardi's?
Yeah,
and,
sure.
Most of those places are gone now. I think Fitzgerald's is still there.
Rockefeller's gone, Club Hey Hey, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff's gone. And
Cardi's a little upscale.
Oh, yeah, that was something else. And we were playing there, and this guy came back and said he used to work with Lone Wolf and then had his own agency. And he said, man, you guys sound a lot like ZZ Top. You want to do a tribute act? So we did it. But back then, I don't even know what my train of thought was.
We're talking about the Sawmill, about the Mel Tillis.
Yeah, Sawmill, yeah. There was a band that this guy booked down there in Houston called the Texas Twisters. Bunch of kids. And they were real good. And I don't know if they're out of Dallas or Houston. I think they might have been out of Dallas. But they used to play Sawmill in their show. And I always thought, man, that's a blazing sign. Of course, I knew it from Mel Tillis. They just did a blazing version of it, kind of like the one we do now and live.
Well, once I was a slave.
sawmill. Talk about a poor boy, talk about a poor boy. Never saw a dollar bill. Money work was so hard at the sawmill. Think about a poor boy, think about a poor boy. When you go to write your will, we'll see my teardrops falling down. My wife left this sawmill town. She said sawmill life had been a sin, 'cause the gravy was too thin. I can't work no more at the sawmill. Mercy on a poor boy, mercy on a poor boy. Let me have a dollar bill. If you bring your wife to the sawmill, well, how you gonna please her? How you gonna please her when she wants a dollar bill? They're not satisfied at the sawmill. Women like a dollar, women like a dollar. Yes, and women always will. See my teardrops falling down. My wife left this sawmill town. She said the sawmill life had been a sin, Lord, 'cause the gravy was too thin. I can't work no more at the sawmill. Mercy on a poor boy, mercy on a poor boy. Let me have a dollar bill. Mercy on a poor boy, mercy on a poor boy. Let me have a dollar bill.
If those guys are still out there anywhere, anybody that's in the Texas Twisters, that's what inspired me to, you know, like 20 years later, 20-something years later, to cut that song. And I guess probably the biggest curveball on the theirs side of the record is probably us doing a hillbilly version of a Mata Hoople song. you don't hear that very often, but I tell you, it's something else. We play that live a lot of times. We don't always, but sometimes.
The original mixed up kid sleeps with the ladies all night, home by the morning light, and nothing. He climbs into an empty bed, pillows around his head, to hide the tears he sheds. Is born a twin. Him those who share, they will always win. But what about the man who tries so hard? His heart is locked within. The original mixed-up kid must have been at the end of the line when they gave out the forms to sign someone. And he can't make up his mind where he wants to go. Ain't there a hell, ain't there a hell? Well, he just don't know. For in a mixed up kid, be on your conscience bound, for they turned him upside down for nothing. Oh, 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 oh.
we find that mid-tempo songs don't go over as well live as either fast songs or slow songs. You know, a lot of times the mid-tempo ones are the ones where people go pee, you know.
Right.
So we don't always do that. But I'll tell you one, this will blow your mind. One that we've cut for the cover side that we didn't put on the record. We did and this was the hardest one to make into a hillbilly song. We suffered over this one for a month. It's the only one we didn't cut instantly. We did a Boxmaster's version of Iron Man.
I need a bootleg of that.
Oh, we'll get you one. You got to hear that one. I mean, it's pretty crazy. But the thing is it doesn't have an actual chord structure in it. It's just a riff. So we're trying to figure out how do you use an acoustic guitar on this? You know, how do we start? I mean, we didn't know, and we toiled over for a long time. And Mike Butler actually ended up coming up with the way to do it, and it's one worth hearing. No Matter What by Badfinger.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, The Kids Are All Right was a quite a surprise too. One of the guys that I work with here at the station was when he just beamed when he saw it. He's like,
"We always end the show with that one. That one goes over real well." And you know, the reason we put the Who on there, the reasoning behind it was we had to have a Who song because since our band has a slight punk attitude, meaning, you know, just because it's kind of against the grain of what people are doing right now in the popular stuff, you know, the fact that we've combined all these elements to make this hillbilly band. We thought, we got to pay tribute to the original punk band, which would be The Who. I mean, there wouldn't be a Ramones or a Sex Pistols if it wasn't for The Who. And so the original song we were going to cut by The Who was one of my favorites as a kid. And I think the first 45 that I actually went in the record store in Malvern, Arkansas, there, a little place called Paula's Record Shop, the only place we had. And I walked in there with my own paws, bought the single of The Seeker. And I always loved that song. But we couldn't quite make it work for our sound. You know, we didn't know how to do that one. We're still going to try because we get kind of obsessive if we can't do something. We better keep trying.
Yeah, don't tell me no, huh?
Must get out in the light. Better leave. anger. Don't make me stop this car. Put that thing down. You can put somebody's eye out with that thing. Don't make me take off.
Yeah, Malvern Arsenal. Yeah, Hot Springs, that's an odd town, man, I tell you. I was born in Hot Springs.
Uh-huh.
And it's a weird town because it's a resort town, you know. And yet, you know, on the outskirts, you got all these little hillbilly towns like Bismarck and places like that. And you got old retired people that come there for the baths and all that.
Is it Pettigean Mountain?
Yeah, Pettigean, that's up, you know, closer on the Little Rock end of it.
Right, okay. Yeah. They had an antique car museum there.
That's right. That's exactly right. Matter of fact, I think it was Rockefeller's. Yeah. It was Rockefeller's car museum, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A couple of questions and then I'm gonna let you go into your next one. And I've talked to Mike about, you know, what you guys got coming up with the Christmas album and working on the next album and tour. I was thrilled at the visual at the show at Stubbs. I was just absolutely thrilled.
Cool.
And then to hear it, it was like, it's all come together for me now. There have been a lot of other actors who have tried this. Notably, I guess Dennis Quaid was doing a deal. I think Kevin Costner is doing a deal or working on a deal. Talking about other actors doing what you're doing.
Right.
Besides the obvious, you know, why is this working for you, and how do you relate to the popularity, I mean, the groundswell of popularity, the album and the band?
Yeah, well, first off, you know, on my first couple of solo records, I put up with a lot more guff, you know, from people about an actor making records or whatever.
Right.
Since I've been around so long, and, you know, this is... I've had four solo records on major labels and then the Boxmasters. So I've been around long enough to where I'm in a lot of music magazines and have endorsements with different companies, you know, Slingerland, Zildjian and Gibson, people like that. So I pop up in like real legitimate publications and, you know, people like yourself have me on shows like this as opposed to just going on, I started to call it Johnny Carson, I still call it Johnny Carson, but on the Tonight Show or something and just promoting an album to, you know, like that. And plus knowing, and as you know, I run in music circles more, you know, with Stephen Bruton and...
The King, Country Western Troubadours.
And the King, exactly, you know, people like that. And, you know, guys like Christofferson,
mm-hmm.
who come out in...
I read y'all's interview, by the way. That was excellent.
Oh, that was a real good one, yeah. It was a real good one. And Chris is always, and Willie and those guys have always been real supportive of the music and Cash and Waylon were, too.
Right.
You know, so when you have that... It kind of put me in a different light or in a different category than some of the other guys who do it. And the thing about it is, and I always thought, was it's kind of ridiculous to even judge somebody's record based on what else they do or whatever. Because,
absolutely.
I mean, the fact of the matter is there's plenty of bands out there who have never been in a movie. You know?
Right.
And
who said you couldn't be multi-talented anyway?
Well, yeah. I mean, like if a sculptor did a painting, nobody says anything about it. Or if a plumber, you know, has a night job over as a security guard, nobody says anything. So it never made a lot of sense to me. And plus the fact that I grew up in the music business, you know, and that's what I did. And then it's almost like a punishment that I got famous as an actor, you know. but also a lot of it is, you know, it's just educating people. Now that I've been around so long, and have become respected in the music business, and also, you know, my songs are not on the radio, well, on the pop radio stations or the Nashville country things. They're on at alternative places. Yeah, so I think we've earned a certain degree of respect, and especially with this Boxmasters thing, it's kind of, you know, we've been on the charts for a while now, and mm-hmm. we've got songs on the radio and videos and whatnot. So. It's kind of become real different. And also, I always tell people, if I were doing that as a vanity project, I would certainly write a different type of song. I mean, I'm not exactly writing radio-friendly songs all the time.
Well, and yeah, that's something else I want to tell you. I told Mike a while ago, everything that's STC acceptable, we've got in the system.
There you go.
Okay? I mean, and we're playing it all. And we're, you know, we build it all up, and every time we play it, we're starting to get requests for the stuff now. Yeah, I just got to get that radio edit of watching the game.
And
I'm not going to tell you that I was a Cubs fan. I still am. But.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. No, I got a lot of respect
for that. I was a big Cardinals fan, too. Tim McCarver and those guys back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We were always, my brothers and I, man, that's baseball was our lives growing up. You know, that's.
Oh, yeah.
these kids today, they don't have a clue.
No.
I mean, we played ball every day.
Oh, absolutely.
And
no, I mean, I hate to start sounding like my dad, but
boy, you get there, don't you?
But you sure do.
I know.
You definitely get there.
I know. The love of the game for these kids is just not like it was when we were coming up.
And I mean, you know, the players aren't even the same. It's a whole different attitude, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, team loyalty is a lot tougher these days because you don't know who your team's going to be every year.
Right, like Roger Clemens playing a yo-yo between Houston and New York.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not guilty.
Oh yeah. Oh, that stuff, and it's hard for me to watch Jimmy Edmonds, who I've known since he's on the Angels. He's a good friend of mine, and when I watch the Cardinals playing the Cubs, and I see Edmonds hit two home runs against us in a Cub uniform, it's hard to take.
Well, tell you what, I really want to tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing, and how the level of cool that I see in this is unsurpassed. I am proud for the opportunity to spend a few minutes and talk to you, see what you're thinking about. This whole deal was just neat. Watching the show, I felt like a kid again.
You know? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I really did.
That means a whole lot to me, I tell you, because that's what we want. That was the intention. It really was. And you know what? We feel like kids again doing it, too.
Oh, that's got to be the funnest thing in the world.
It really is. And I tell you what, I'm going to take you up on, let's set up something down in Luckenbach or Green Hall or somewhere out there, you know, because and come in the station.
Yeah, man.
That's
cool.
Territory. That'd be great. Cool. I love Kerrville, that whole area down there. I broke down there one night years ago when I was going to California for the second time. I actually broke down in Kerrville.
Really?
Yeah. But
hopefully it wasn't at night on the weekend.
Well, it was at night. But it all worked out good, you know. But I love the people down there and everything. It's just it's a great area of the country. But I'd really love to do that. And also, I want to give you a way to contact me if anything comes up down there.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
So I'll definitely give you a number to call me on.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, we've been speaking with Billy Bob Thornton. The Boxmasters, you know him from the movies. You need to get to know him from the music. Billy Bob, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for what you're doing out there, making guys like me feel good again.
Well, thank you for supporting real music. You know, if it wasn't for stations like yours, nobody would know about us. So,
if it wasn't for guys like y'all, we wouldn't have anything to do.
Have to
go out and get a real job.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much, Billy Bob. Y'all take care. Have a great tour. And we look forward to seeing y'all down this part of the country again.
You got it.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Reno is sparkling ahead. Honey, I thought I'd give you a call. Looking for tomorrow to be sunny in the midst of this snowfall. I let you and the kids down for way too long now. Hoping to turn our life around if I can just figure out how. I'm working on a plan to save our home. Keep us out of the poorhouse. Pay off those loans. I'm working on a plan to save our home. Keep us out of the poorhouse. And I won't do it stone. I'll sit with the grannies at the nickel machines and pull handles till my hands are blue. I'll do just about anything to bring a future home to you. I put down the pails of liquor. You know I tried to keep a job. Just think this'll be quicker if I can win a little off the mob. I'm working on a plan to save our home. Keep us out of the poorhouse. Pay off those loans. I'm working on a plan to save our home. Keep us out of the poorhouse. Now that I'm not stoned. Well, my plan didn't work exactly.
exactly, honey, but I do have a little good news. I'm not bringing home any money, but I didn't turn back the booze. I guess it's back to the drawing board, ideas are starting to brew. I'm bringing back all I can afford, and that's love to the kids and you. I'm working on a plan to save our home, keep us out of the poorhouse, pay off those loans.